We saw a lot of people who were considered the greatest in their fields: golf, soccer, baseball, hockey, tennis, Muhammad Ali, Joe DiMaggio, Andre Agassi, and I could go on and on and on and on, particularly with superheroes. As I mentioned earlier, our Heavenly Father has a different set of standards of what makes you great. And we're going to turn to Mark 10. If you'd pull out your Bibles or turn to your electronic Bibles, or if you have none of those, you can look at our screen. Greatness doesn't have to do with your bank account, our looks, or our clothes. Praise the Lord. In fact, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus wants to show us what truly greatness is. Now, the world has their values and their view of what's great. It's, you know, see my shoes, see my car, see my house, see my authority, see my greatness, see how great I am, and go on and on and on. But Jesus said in verse 42, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, these are important muckety-muck people, lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. They're considered great. They're considered important. But Jesus says this to the disciples in verse 43, not so with you. Turn to somebody next to you and say, not so with you. Turn to the other person and say, not so with you. Bother the person in front of you you don't know. Tap them on the shoulder and say, not so with you. Turn around behind you and tell the person behind you, maybe you. Not so with you, he said. You want to show greatness? Jesus said this. He dropped down to verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. If anyone ever deserved to be served, it was Jesus. And to give his life as a ransom for many. In the kingdom of God, greatest is service, not status. Greatest is service, not status. Greatest is what we do for others, not what's done for ourselves. Now, why is that? I'm going to make this statement. It might be controversial to some people in this room. I'm going to say it twice. I'm going to say it at the beginning of this message, and I'm going to say it at the end of this message, because I believe with all my heart. It is impossible to love Jesus without serving people. It's impossible to love Jesus without serving people. Our mission statement here at Ocala Christian Church is love God, love others, love people, and serve others. That's who we are. That's who we serve to be. This morning, I'm going to study a more powerful story about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And I'm going to turn to John 13, the first 13th chapter, verse 1, if you'd like to follow along with me. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Now, get your mind wrapped around that. All these things are going on, and Jesus knows in the back of his mind it's just down to hours before he will be taken away, beaten, and crucified. Now, what's on your mind if you know that's just around the corner? You know, God, Jesus was very, very aware of time. You know, God ignores our time. God is way above time. But Jesus respected time while he was on this planet. He said a lot of things about it. He said, the time has not yet come. Another place he said, the time is coming. Another, now the hour has come. Another, he said, the time and the hour has come to leave this world. Another time, having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them till the end. He was very aware of time. He knew what time was. Even though he was fully God and fully human, he was aware of that. And he knew the time on earth was coming to an end. So for a minute, Jesus literally just had a handful of hours. So what do you do when you only have a handful of hours left? Let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't go on vacation. He didn't take a massive shopping spree. He didn't try to live a lavish lifestyle. He didn't indulge in sins of the flesh. He chose to spend the final hours that he had on this planet with his closest friends. John, the author of this gospel, says that Jesus loved them all. Verse 1, at the end of verse 1, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, that's the disciples he's talking about. They were the ones who were in this world. He loved them to the end. Now, you hear that and you think, well, that means he loved them till the day he died. And that's true. But that's not the full meaning of this verse. You see, the word used there for end in the Greek, it really means the fullest extent, the uttermost. So Jesus didn't just love them till the end of his life, but he loved them to the fullest extent of his ability. Do you see the difference there? He's just not saying, I love you. He's saying, with everything I am, with everything I possess, I love you. Jesus isn't just stating his love. You know, we do that all the time. See ya, love ya. Do you really? Sign a Christmas card. Love you. Well. Jesus didn't just say love. We say love all the time. Jesus showed love. That's a huge difference in just saying it and showing it. He shows his love. He did it by demonstrating one of the most powerful, meaningful, and powerful ways he could imagine in this particular text. Beginning with verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, in these verses that I just specifically shared, Jesus performed 7 specific acts of service. Just 2 verses. But there are 7 specific acts of service that he performed. I'm going to quickly hit these. I think it's really important. The very first one Jesus did, he got up. He got up. The disciples were lounging around in a U-shaped table. It's called a triclinium. I think we have a picture up here of what it might have looked like. You see the U-shaped, of course, this one has Jesus at the head and elevated. I don't doubt that's true. I don't even agree with the order that they have, maybe the disciples. But the triclinium was kind of a U-shaped, sometimes it was actually a square, but mostly it was a U-shaped table. The servants could come in from the inside and serve the table. And you see all their feet are facing away from the table. The feet are all outward. Their heads are inside. That's called a triclinium. And that's what they were using. That's the word they were eating at. They were eating at this U-shaped table. And it's really clear to understand how their feet could be dirty, but far away from the table. Now, you know, I wonder, did Jesus just notice they had dirty feet? Did they smell? Was this his plan all along, this lesson? I think I'm going to answer that in just a little later. You'll pick this up. The first thing Jesus did, though, is he got up. I want you to notice the most important things, the most meaningful things that you've ever really experienced in your life, you weren't sitting down. Do you ever think about that? Our births, our first steps, running with your friends, you accepted Christ as your Savior and was baptized, meeting your spouse, your wedding, your child's birth, on and on and on. Those big main events, I would say probably be extremely few of those that you were actually just sitting down. You were up and moving. And if you want to have a life that matters, I'm going to get real practical here. Turn off your TV. Put away your phone. Put away your iPad. Turn your computer off. And get up. Not only would it help your health, but you'll be able to do more for Jesus Christ because you can't do very much just sitting there. Sorry, that got real practical for a minute. Second thing Jesus did, he took off his outer clothing. In those times, they wore an inner and an outer clothing, just like you would wear maybe a T-shirt or something underneath your shirt. They had an inner outer clothing. He took off his outer clothing. And this was, I think, an example of his humility. He wasn't afraid to demonstrate who he was, and he took it off, revealing himself to the disciples. Now, if I could just, metaphysically speaking here, remove the facade, because every one of us carry a shield around with us that we don't want people to know. You know, we pretend a certain way, we act a certain way. You know, my mother, bless her heart, she hated the idea I was going to the ministry. Really hated it. Didn't support me when I went to Bible college. financially, any other way. Loved my mom. But when I graduated, you would have thought she took classes with me. Can I introduce you to my son, the preacher? Oh, this is a wonderful outfit. This will look good on my son, the preacher. Oh, this is my daughter-in-law. Did I tell you she's married to my son, the preacher? All over the place. That's exactly how she functioned. She was like big into telling people, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that was the kind of the pride. But she kind of had that mask because she struggled in her own life spiritually. And so that was her mask. And some of you have your own masks. You know, you have your Sunday face, then you have your rest of the week face. You have your Sunday language, and then you have your other 6 days language. Jesus got up, he removed his outer garment and revealed his humble heart, his servant heart. Somewhere I've learned that God doesn't just care what I do, he cares why I do it. You know, there's a lot of people that do good things, but they do it for their own self-interest. Well, that's great if somebody's helped. But when God's looking at your heart, God wants you to do the right thing for the right reason. Jesus got up. He took off his outer garment. Here's three. He wrapped a towel around his waist. This is going to be real short, but just to explain, a towel around the waist was considered a servant's apron. Only servants wore towels around their waist because they were doing dirty manual labor and they needed a towel around their waist. Jesus wasn't afraid to appear as a servant. He put this towel around his waist to do this job, and he was willing to wear a slave's apron to do it. Here's number four. He poured water into a basin. He's preparing to serve others. He poured first. And how have you prepared to serve others? How do you prepare? Maybe you have a talent. Maybe you have a skill, an occupation, a hobby. Something that could help to serve other people. God may have been preparing you throughout your life to be able to serve others and help people in specific ways. Why am I so good at this? Why am I so good at this? Why am I so good at this? Jesus got up, he took off his outer clothing, he wrapped his towel around his waist, he poured in the basin, and then he knelt down. Kneeling down is the ultimate form of servanthood, kneeling. He humbled himself before the disciples. He expressed his love for them. And the last time, when was the last time you humbled yourself to somebody? When was the last time you really felt like you needed to really get down and humble yourself before someone? That's hard. We Americans are prideful. We really are. I say that as a nation. We're prideful. We have so much, and we're so proud of it. And we become prideful. When's the last time we had a little bit of empathy and sympathy and be willing to express love, even if that means humbling ourselves? Look at these examples of people who knelt for Jesus. Matthew 8:22, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Matthew 9:18, while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him. Matthew 15:25, the woman came and knelt before him. Matthew 17:14, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. I just gave you examples from one gospel. There was a lot of examples of submitting themselves to Jesus, kneeling before them. Here, Jesus is kneeling before the disciples. Okay, he got up, he took off his outer clothing, he wrapped his towel around him, he poured water in a basin, he knelt down. Number six, he washed the disciples' feet. I don't know how often you've seen some really crusty feet, but I expect these probably were. I mean, they didn't have any closed-toed shoes. These were sandals. The only person that may have had a closed-toed shoe may have been a soldier, high-ranking soldier of some kind, but most wore sandals, dusty roads. You've been in sandals for a long time. You know what it's like if you haven't had a chance to get a shower or a bath, particularly when you want to leave the beach. Remember what your feet feel like? Like, give me a spigot. I've got to wash my feet. You don't care if the rest of you looks terrible. You've got to wash your feet off, right? And here these guys have been kicking around in sandals, all these dusty roads, walking around, who knows how much mud, how much whatever, any animal, whatever, they stepped in. And here they are, they're coming in, and they walk in with their dirty feet. Now, you have to really understand the significance of someone washing someone else's feet. It's hard for us in the 21st century. See, this was a servant's job. Matter of fact, the actual Greek word used for the servant that would wash the people's feet was the word diakonos. It's the same word we get the word deacon from. It's funny, because I've known a few deacons in my life that were a little puffy. Not puffy here, puffy here. And if you, I'd love to be able to come to them and say, hey, I just want you to know, you're a deacon? Oh, yes, I am. Do you know that deacon means dirty foot person? Share that with somebody sometime. That's what it means. And these actions of Jesus, they shocked everybody. They'd never seen such self-sacrifice. And he would, never in a million years would they have guessed that Jesus would have got on his knees and washed their feet. Never would they have thought of that. That just didn't happen. Here's an artist's concept of what it might have looked like. There's Jesus taking off his outer clothing. He's wrapped the towel around him, and he's washing the disciples' feet. That's just, again, an artist's rendering of what it might have looked like, but it certainly gives you the idea. And the other ones are just standing there, awestruck with their mouth open. I can't believe he's doing this. The seventh thing he did, he dried the feet of the disciples with a towel. He didn't just splash a little water on their feet. He washed their feet, and then he dried them completely. What humility. Now, you know, we've just had a couple great meals with Thanksgiving and Christmas. How many had a great meal Thanksgiving or Christmas? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the kind of meal you taste for 2 days. It may affect you for 2 days, too, but you definitely enjoy in faith. The Passover meal was very much like that in that it was a generationally practiced tradition. For generations and generations, they would have this Passover meal. So it was something they were all used to having. People would gather to celebrate the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, and the forgiveness of God. And that they would gather for the Passover meal to do that. And in the middle of this sacred time, upper room, sacred meeting, Passover, in the middle of that, the disciples started arguing about who was the greatest of all time. Gospel of Luke tells us they were arguing about who's the goat. Who is the greatest disciple? Now, be clear. They're in the room with Jesus arguing about who is the greatest. You starting to see the picture here? Who's the most important? Who has the most followers on Twitter and Instagram? Who has the most clicks? Who has the most this? Who is the greatest? None of those things. But they were all arguing about who is the greatest in this particular thing. Indulge me. Put on your sanctified imaginators, okay? That's what I'm telling you. Just imagine with me, okay? This is not written in Scripture. This is just something we can kind of like wonder if this is how it went. Let me just help you how this might have gone. John. Since I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves, clearly I am the most important. I always thought he had kind of a Thurston Howell III voice. Peter, you forget about who walked on water. None of you did. I did. James, my mother asked if I could sit on the right side of Jesus, so I'm the most important. Then there's Bartholomew. I'm just sitting here quietly. Nobody knows who I am. Obviously, I'm not the most important. Whatever they said, it was about who was the greatest. And there was Jesus sitting in the room, looking around the room. And what did he see? Here's what he saw. Jesus saw proud hearts and dirty feet. Proud hearts and dirty feet. I asked you at the beginning, I said, why do you think Jesus did that? Why do you think Jesus washed their feet? You know, it must have broken his heart to see them, whom he loved, arguing about who was going to be the greatest. It's so petty. It's so prideful. And that he has shown them, he's taught them, and he was hours away from a cross, and they were fighting about who was the greatest. You see the irony? And Jesus saw that, and he got up, and he took off his outer clothing. He wrapped his servant's towel around his waist. He poured some water in a basin. He knelt down and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, try to wrap your minds around this. They're arguing. You know, whenever people are in the middle of an argument, they're facing each other, they're standing up, you know, they're arguing back and forth. And Jesus quietly gets up and goes over and takes out his clothing. And they're like, slowly, one by one, they quieted down and watched Jesus as he came over and began to wash their feet. Jesus, the Son of the Most High, the living water, the good shepherd, the true vine, the bread of life, the light of the world, the living stone, the King of glory, the Prince of peace, the Prince of the Most High, the righteous judge, the chosen ones, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God who would die for the sins of the world, knelt down and washed their stinking, filthy feet. Let me point this out. I like looking at Scripture, and sometimes from a different perspective, and sometimes you see things you didn't notice before. The disciples weren't considering washing each other's feet. We get that, right? They were arguing. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Nobody volunteered to wash Jesus' feet. Did you ever think about that? I mean, they all thought they were better than each other. But surely they didn't think they were better than the Master. They surely didn't think they were better than Jesus. But none one of them offered to wash at least Jesus' feet. Do you see that? Anybody ever noticed that before? That's key. They had a heart problem. They were prideful. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing completely, but they just ignored it. That's a proud heart and dirty feet. And aren't you glad you aren't like them? I'm saying that facetiously. Don't we sometimes kind of think about ourselves kind of a little haughty about if we should? Put about our own needs before the needs of others? Don't ask ourselves, what would God want me to do, but what do I want to do? We're pretty much like those disciples, I really think, if we're going to be honest. We often criticize those with dirty feet instead of washing them. I'm going to pause here, point out that one of the feet that Jesus washed belonged to Judas Iscariot. Now, we all think, oh, John, James, oh, they were wonderful disciples. Even Bartholomew, who never knew who he was, and he was always quiet. Yeah, wonderful disciple. But it was Judas's feet also were there for this point. And Jesus didn't point him out, didn't skip him. He washed his feet as well. Yeah, that's telling me that there are people maybe who aren't your best friends, who people who you struggle with, that you still need to serve. What about the people who don't look like you? Or the people who don't talk like you? Or those who act a little different than you? You see, often we criticize rather than wash those feet. Jesus cleansed us. He went to the cross. We've been forgiven a lot. I've been forgiven a lot. I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven a lot. Anybody else here? Okay. So we're on that same page. We have been forgiven a lot. Why are we then still too proud to wash the feet of others? The disciples wanted to, you want to know who the greatest was in the kingdom of God? Greatest isn't about status, it's about service. And here's the truth, friends. I said this earlier and I'm going to say it again. Maybe it makes more sense to you now. You can't truly love Jesus without serving people. Do you get it more now? You cannot love Jesus truly unless you serve other people. But if you're a disciple of Jesus, now, if you're not a Christian, none of this applies to you. Let me just be real clear. You're not a believer. You're here visiting because somebody invited you to come, or you saw the building and you thought you'd come in and get a donut, whatever. That just doesn't apply to you. But if you're a Christian, You're part of the body of the Christ. Every part of the body of Christ matters. And if you don't serve somewhere in the church, that means something that God wants done isn't getting done. That made it quiet, didn't it? I love our new administrative assistant, Michelle. She is super. Does a great job. She's here faithfully. She's wonderful. We love Michelle. But there are times that I feel so sorry for her when she's trying to do her job and fill the volunteer roles for a Sunday service. I have seen her send request after request after request. Now, all the requests that go to her, there's a duplicate that comes to me. So I see all the people on my computer that say, no, no, absolutely no, 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 definitely not no, maybe. And she gets it all week long. From every serving era you can think of, she gets it again and again. No, 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 no. She has to ask tons of people to do sometimes a very simple job. And some of you do serve, and thank you for your service. But you may have wondered before, why are you asked so often? Anybody ever wondered, honestly, why am I being asked so often? You don't want to admit that, but you know that's true. I'll tell you. You're not going to like the answer. But I'll tell you. Because there are some people who don't serve anywhere. Got quiet again, didn't it? How's your toes? Do you really think Jesus is what Jesus had in mind is about washing feet when Jesus said, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set as an example for you to do as I have done. Now, he wasn't talking about you getting up and going and washing tootsies. He was saying, follow the service example I just showed you. You serve people that you really maybe don't like, who may even betray you, who have exaggerated their life and life skills, who haven't been there for you, who never offered to wash your feet. Serve other people. So what are we waiting for? Find a place to serve. Speak to Michelle this morning. I'm going to talk to her. I need to talk. Talk to her this morning. She's here. She's right in that corner. She'll be right out in that foyer. Catch Michelle and say, I can serve somewhere. Tell me where you have a need. Tell me where the greatest need is. Get my name. Get my information. It's funny. Some people, they visit with us, you know, they give us their name. Well, we don't have a phone number or an email or anything. We can't contact them. So if we have a need to serve, we have no idea how to get a hold of them. I'm thinking, was that by planning? I don't know. So if you don't have your name and information with us, drop it off. Give it to Michelle so she can get a hold of you and ask. And you know, I'm being real here. There are times you're sick. There are times you're going to be out of town. Nobody's questioning that. It's the people who come in for worship, and they grab a donut, and they grab a coffee, and they visit and talk, and then they come in here and sit. And then the service begins, and they usually don't sing. They just kind of stand there, and then they sit back down. And then there's communion, and somebody brings them communion. And then somebody picks up the trash from communion. And then they have a sermon, and they sit there. And as soon as the sermon's over and the last prayer's over, they're out that door or that door so they can go out the side door, and they can skip everybody and be the first one to wherever they're going. No time to talk to anybody. No time to visit with anybody. No time to volunteer. I got to get out of here. And you know what I say about that? You've just punched your church clock. That's all you've done. Go to church. That's done. That's all you've done. Maybe today is the day and you begin to understand the greatest of all time features servanthood. And when you die one day, and by the way, you all are going to die, the mortality is 100%, okay? Don't make me lie at your funeral. Let that soak in. So Somebody's going to come to me. Would you do so-and-so's funeral? Oh, I'll be happy to help you, honey. I'm sorry your habit's lost, and I'll pray. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up, and I'm going to preach about the promises of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not for him or her or whatever. I'm not talking about them. I don't judge people. That's above my pay grade. But I'm going to just reiterate the promises of God for those who have given their heart to God and who have lived their life for Jesus Christ and served mankind. Don't make me lie. Let today be a day. We're going into a new year. This is a new year. Something different. In 2024, I'm going to serve more. I'm going to find a place to serve. I'm going to be useful in the kingdom of God. I'm going to find a place where God can use me, where I can use my talents and my gifts. And I might be stretched out of my comfort zone a little bit, but God's still going to find a place to use me because there are so many needs. And friends, we're not running out of lost people in Marion County. So there are still people you need to invite and bring to church with you and be part of this growing experience that, of imperfect people who we are. Because this is the perfect church for imperfect people. Because every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23. We're going to close this service with prayer. And let your prayer be, God, where do you want me to serve? Father, we've looked at this wonderful story that you have provided to us, and we see the generosity, the servanthood, the kindness, the compassion, the humility of Jesus. And in this great example of servanthood and compassion, Father, that we might be able to learn that he was speaking to us. He did this to them, but he was teaching us. And I pray that maybe this morning we've learned a little lesson. That it's time to get up. It's time to serve. The kingdom of God, Father, is part of the body of Christ. It is us. We are the church. And for the church to function, we all need to do our part. Help us to see where we are needed and our heart to be touched that we will serve. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.